Lake Henry Implement wishes you a Merry Christmas this joyous time of the year. They express their sincere thanks to all of their customers, friends, and neighbors. Merry Christmas and the best wishes for the new year from Lake Henry Implement.
Hennon Lumber Freeport hopes there is a moment in your busy holiday for this friendly holiday greeting. May this season find you happy and with your loved ones observing this day in the true Christmas spirit. Merry Christmas to all from Hennon Lumber Freeport.
Afternoon Delights. Afternoon Delights. This afternoon on your dependable neighbor, Chasm.
15 degrees, 15 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. It is now time for Aunt Sarah's Party Line, which is brought to you by West Central Sanitation and Atlas Chiropractic. We now head to Shady's Hometown Tavern and Event Center. Focus on Farming with Joe Gill.
Joe Gill.
All right, Kirby Hemish, thank you very much. Here at Shady's Hometown Tavern, Main Street in Albany, it's our first annual Focus on Farming here on Chasm Radio. Big thank you to our show sponsors. You mentioned our Party Line sponsors. Also to Stearns Bank Albany, Midsota Manufacturing in Avon, and our friends at Compeer Financial. In Way Park, we have a outstanding panel here, and we invite you to come on down to Shady's and listen live and ask questions as well. And a lot of folks are saying, well, geez, you got a big panel, Joe. And I says, well, I invited 9 people, and all 9 responded and said they're going to show up. So first of all, thank you very much. We appreciate that. Here in this first segment, we're just going to run down some introductions. We'll begin to my left, and Joe Smentek. Joe will just give us a little background, the organization you guys represent, and a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thanks for having us here today. I'm Joe Smentek. I'm the Director of Public Affairs for Minnesota Soybean. I'm a city kid, environmental lawyer that ended up working for agriculture, trying to help out with some of the environmental issues agriculture faces and work on our environmental stewardship action team along with our advocacy at the Capitol.
All right, Joe Smentek this morning. Also representing the corn growers on the Minnesota side and national side this morning, Tom.
Thanks for having us this morning, Joe. And yes, I'm Tom Haig. I'm from 30 minutes south here from Eden Valley, and I've been on the state corn growers board for 8 years and just a touch over the a year for on the national board. And so I get a very good chance to know what's going on with state, plus also federal. And like I say, happy to be here this morning, Joe, and hope for some good conversation.
Next to Tom as well, a guy who made his way all the way from Waverly. It's Dan and his wife's anniversary today. So Dan Glessing joining us. Dan, good morning. Thanks for making the trip up here, and a little bit about yourself and your family too, Dan.
You bet. Dan Glessing from Waverly, Minnesota. We're primarily a dairy farm. We also raise dairy steers, corn, soybeans, alfalfa. There with my wife, who is an FFA advisor, ag teacher. We have 4 children, and serve as vice president for Minnesota Farm Bureau. Been in that role for about 3 years now.
All right, we go from one dairy guy to another dairy guy, or do I just say amateur baseball player? But we'll wear the dairy hat today. Steve Schlung, and Steve, thanks for being here. Background on yourself, you're very involved. You serve on many boards, chairman of the board of the AMPI as well. Thanks again, Steve.
Thanks, Joe. Good morning. Yeah, I'm Steve Schlung, and I'm a dairy farmer from about 7 miles south of here. I serve as chairman of the board of AMPI. And I also serve through that role. I serve as on the board of the National Milk Producers Federation. I'm chairman of the Minnesota Dairy Growth Alliance Steering Committee. Serve with Joe on the Stearns County Dairy Advisory Committee. So a lot of things dairy. So yeah, my wife and I, we have about 65 cows with a robotic milker that we put in about 7.5 years ago. And it's all working out well for us.
All right, as you move on with the panel here at the table as well, this was the first person who said, yes, Joe, I'll be there. And this is Minnesota Ag Commissioner Dave Fredrickson. I cornered you at the Farmers Union Convention that weekend. I said, Dave, I got this wild idea. Would you show up? Dave said, of course I would, he said. So, Dave, we appreciate it. Once again, talk about yourself. You've been involved in agriculture for many, many years.
Yes, it goes back hundreds of years. Well, I was pleased that you asked, Joe, and as you look around at the folks at the table today, we are here to honor KASM, certainly, but certainly to honor you. Anytime that you focus on agriculture, and this is an opportunity for us in many ways to say thank you to the station and to you, Joe, for the great work that you have done over the years. I've served as the Commissioner of Agriculture since the day one of the of the Dayton administration, and I look forward to my last year in that capacity. I'll be retiring at the end of this year, and I have my old boat that I've got ready to go down the river, and I plan to put it in the Mississippi River and go to New Orleans on it.
Dave Fredrickson joining us this morning. We go to our right here and next, Senator Tory Westrum. Tory, thanks for being here as well this morning, and of course, I'll let folks know about yourself. Tory, I'll have you switch mics here. I'll grab you this one over there. I'll steal that one from you.
Is that better? That is better. I'll start over. Senator Tory Westrum, I live in Elba Lake, Minnesota, serving District 12, which includes Albany all the way west to the North and South Dakota border. I grew up on a dairy farm. I serve as the Agriculture, Finance, and Rural Development Chair in the Minnesota Senate, so it's an honor to focus on agriculture, and it's an honor to represent agriculture at our state capital because of how important it is. So it's great to be here, Joe. Thanks to Chasm for putting this on and focusing on agriculture.
Thank you, Tory. As we'll just have you hand the mic over to Tom Peterson. Tom, making a trip from beautiful Pine City this morning.
Yep, thanks, Joe. And again, my name's Tom Peterson. I'm the Director of Government Relations with the Minnesota Farmers Union. I am responsible for representing our members at the Capitol in St. Paul and also in Washington, D.C., and been in this position for 15 years already. It's hard to believe. And I do live on a farm in Pine City with my wife and two sons.
And State Representative Paul Anderson. Paul, thanks for being here. Good morning.
Well, thank you, and good morning, everybody. Good to be here. And again, thanks to Joel for putting on this what we hope to be the first of a series of programs, at least annual series. Yeah, my name is Paul Anderson. I represent half of Senator Westrum's Senate District, House District 12B, which goes, again, this is the eastern edge, and I go over as far as just about to the edge of Starbuck over in Pope County. My wife and I live on a farm. Our kids have grown up and left home, so the cattle went shortly after the kids left home, and now we raise corn, soybeans, and a little bit of wheat on our farm, and certainly an interesting time in agriculture. It is margins are tight, if at all existent, in ag today, and we have to look and see, is a light coming at the end of the tunnel sometime, and we hope it certainly is, but some challenging times and some good times as well as we look to work through this system. But good to be here. I chair the Ag Policy Committee in the Minnesota House. And it's my pleasure now to introduce to you Minnesota's newest lieutenant governor.
I'm glad you did it, Paul, because I was unsure what kind of title I just throw out four titles or what. But Michelle, thank you for being here this morning.
Well, thank you very much. And that was a wonderful introduction. Actually, I'm lieutenant governor designate. But I am the state senator from Senate District 13, and that is the title I'm very proud of. And actually, anyone can feel free to call me Michelle. That is the name my parents picked, and they really appreciate it when you use it. So, but I'm happy to be here. I represent Senate District 13, which is, I live in Painesville with my husband. My kids are grown. It didn't cut out. It sounded like it cut out for a moment. I'm sorry. And more proud of my children. I'm more proud of my grandchildren than my children. But I like my grandkids better than I like my kids. Don't tell them that. I know. They're at work, so they might not be listening right now. But I really appreciate being here. I also serve as the chair of higher ed and as the president of the Senate, and that's why I would be ascending to the position of lieutenant governor. Just as a little bit of background, because I know everybody's kind of curious about that. What happens is as soon as Senator Franken resigns, then Lieutenant Governor Tina Smith would resign, and then I would become lieutenant governor. And I plan on holding both positions. It's a temporary position. The governor has just under a year left in his position, and I was elected by the people of Senate District 13, and so I plan on continuing to serve them. I made a commitment, and I was honored to be elected. So, but we will. I'm excited to be here today, and our focus is wonderful, and I'm happy to see the FFA students here today. I guess you're skipping school, or are you done now for Christmas break? Skipping? Yeah, skipping. Okay, there you go. But happy to see you guys here today, and always appreciate when you come down and visit, too, at the Capitol. So thank you, guys, and thank you all, everyone, for being here today, and I'm looking forward to the program.
And Dave, we'll just start with you. Just talking about Minnesota, I think a lot of times that's my first question to you. Agriculture, Minnesota, Minnesota agriculture, it's number one in the state. Not necessarily number one when you look at dollars and cents-wise, but it's vital to the state and how we continue to go into the future.
Well, thank you, Joel, and it certainly is. We are in the top 10 in a variety of commodities across the state. We're number one in turkeys, number one in soy or in sunflowers. I'm sorry, number one in sugar beets. We have a strong ag economy going for us and for farmers. It is absolutely critical that we maintain the food production, the feed production, the fuel production, and certainly the trade opportunities that we have to move our product and utilize our product here in Minnesota.
Dave Fredrickson joining us here this morning. Just a reminder, coming here at 9:30, we'll break for some news, weather. We have some markets at 9:35. And when it comes to this area, I know a lot of folks consider Stearns County, it's still one of the biggest counties when it comes to dairy here in the state. And Steve, I'll have you begin and talk on the dairy side of things. And there's some trying times, as Paul kind of led to here, and it's pretty evident right now on the dairy side of things.
Yeah, Joe, and it's been about 3 years now, really, since the markets really dropped down. And they bottomed out in 2016 in the spring, I believe it was, and they've worked their way up a little bit. But even this past year, we're probably $1.50 a hundredweight below our 10-year average. And you know how much prices of things have changed in the last 10 years. So the margins are very thin, if there are any margins at all. And we're actually operating without a real safety net. One of the few times, or I don't know if it's ever happened before, that we haven't had a decent safety net for dairy farmers. And we worked at getting this margin protection program in the last farm bill. We thought we had something that was going to be pretty good, and it turned out to be more of a kind of a tax for dairy farmers, because a lot of farmers paid it a lot more than they ever got back. But we're working hard on trying to fix that for the next farm bill, and hopefully it's going to turn out to be even better than what we're expecting. But we'll see. You know, there's budget pressure on everything, but we have other countries across the world that are subsidizing their farmers, and we have to compete with them. We are in a global marketplace whether we like it or not, but so I think this country has to step up and at least support our dairy farmers when times are tough. So
I know, Steve, you got about 60 seconds here, and a lot of folks say, too, farmers are doing much too good of a job. We got so much milk, and milk capacity and where to go in plants seems to be one of the main issues as well.
Yeah, and that had been, there was a lot of production moving in from Michigan, South Dakota, kind of squeezing us in the middle, but we have a number of co-ops now that are expanding some plants, which will be good going forward, and at the same time adding new technology, which will get us a better return out of the milk we put through those plants. So I think with that extra production, there comes a lot of opportunities too. So yeah, we're pretty excited about moving forward.
Coming up on 9:30 here, 9:29 here on Party Line, and our broadcast focus on farming from Shady's Hometown Tavern here in Albany. Still time to come on out, Main Street, Albany. Second half of this 9 o'clock hour, we'll get into some more issues legislative-wise and also from a corn, soybean perspective and more coming up. During the 10 o'clock hour, looking for questions from our audience. They can share their questions, concerns, and address those as well here during our morning broadcast. A big thank you once again to Stearns Bank Albany, Mid-Soda Manufacturing in Avon, and also the fine folks at Compeer Financial in Wade Park. Kirby, we'll send it back to the station. We'll take a break for news, look at the weather forecast and markets at 9:35.
What a diverse panel, and it'll be, I'm pretty excited to hear the second half of the broadcast. Focus on farming at Shady's Hometown Tavern and Events Center. Bottom of the hour news right now on KASM.
Minnesota News Network, I'm Vic Smith. State Health Commissioner Dr. Ed Ellinger abruptly resigned on Tuesday. No reason was given, but the department had been under scrutiny after it was recently reported there had been shortcomings in cases and investigations of elderly care in nursing facilities. The last ocean-going commercial shipping vessel left the Twin Ports this week, capping off what officials are calling a strong season. Spokeswoman Adele Yorde says the surge in cargo comes from moving the highest tonnage of iron ore in nearly a decade.
To see those shipments of iron ore regain strength and actually boom as they have this year was really heartening for the shippers and the landside crews as well.
And driving could become rough across a good portion of northern Minnesota later today. The National Weather Service predicts up to half a foot of snow, accompanied by poor visibilities, by this evening from the Arrowhead to northwestern Minnesota. This is the Minnesota News Network.
Are you confident that you have the right product for your fields? At Newtek Seed, we are intensely focused on our growers' needs, profitability, and product selection. Because we're passionate about your success, we'll help you select the right products for your acres. Corn, soybeans, alfalfa, sunflowers, and sorghum. We have the seed you need for 2018. Visit Newtek Seed online at yieldleader.com to view performance data. Newtek Seed, passionate for your success.
Is my kid in the right car seat? I guess she is.
There are probably rules on when to move up to a booster seat, aren't there?
Rear facing, forward facing. I think I have it right.
Car crashes are a leading killer of children 1 to 13. Are your children in the right car seat for their age and size? Don't think you know. Know you know. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Bottom of the hour news for you here on KESM. We'll get a look at weather coming around the corner. Aunt Sarah's parting line today. Of course, it is our Focus on Farming Live broadcast going on at Shady's Hometown Tavern and Event Center, which we'll be getting back out to in a moment here. But our Aunt Sarah's party line sponsors have to go. We got to get those on the air for you. West Central Sanitation, Atlas Chiropractic, making this all possible.
Happy holidays. Hi, this is Jeff Bertram, West Central Sanitation. All of us at West Central Sanitation would like to take this time to wish you and your family the very best during this holiday season. We'd also like to say thank you for your business and friendship that has kept West Central Sanitation growing in the Pope Douglas, Central Minnesota area. We are proud to be the good neighbors you've come to trust. Merry Christmas from all of us at West Central Sanitation.
Hi, this is Dr. Kate DeBowie with Atlas Family Chiropractic. As I reflect on this past year, I am humbled and grateful to be able to care for the spines of so many loyal CASM listeners. Whether working on the farm, taking care of the home, carrying out business at the office, or performing your best at school and sports, we are blessed to be able to care for you and your family. So as we celebrate the true meaning of this wonderful holiday season, from all of us at Atlas Family Chiropractic, may you and your family have a truly Merry Christmas.
Weather. We'll see a few spotty snow showers here for today with cloudy skies and a high around 20 degrees. East winds are around 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, a slight chance for snow showers here late, cloudy with temperatures holding steady, and east winds are around 5 to 10. By Thursday, a slight chance for snow showers early on, otherwise mostly cloudy skies, temperatures still holding rather steady with north winds at 5 to 10. Friday, mostly cloudy and a high of 21. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on AM 1150 KASM.
Thank you, Jennifer. 15 degrees here on your Wednesday morning. That is our daytime high. This morning's low was 14 when JoJo got in here before 6 o'clock. He always does. Yesterday, a high of 32, low of 26. Normal high for today, 23, a low of 6. Last year, 34 for a high, 28 for a low. Record high, 51 degrees back in 1967. Record low, 24 below back in 1916. The dew point at this juncture, 7. Relative humidity, 73%. The pressure, 30.17. Winds coming from the east at 6 miles per hour. Visibility, 10 miles, 6 on the wind chill factor. Sun rose this morning, 7:55. It'll set this evening at 4:37. Looking out the window, looks like cloudy skies at the moment. As we take a look at weather for you here on KESM, we'll get an update right now, a ag business update here at the 9:35 portion of your morning. Then it's back out to Shady's Hometown Tavern and Event Center here on KESM.
Soybeans and cattle are lower in the early going on Wednesday. Corn and hogs are higher. I'm John Perkins with a Brownfield Market Update. Get the best weed control and the most yield potential with a proven system. Choose Stein Liberty Link soybeans because Stein has yield. Soybeans are fractionally lower right now. Most forecasts to have more rain over the next week in dry parts of Argentina and Brazil. Some weather models do disagree, but overall, conditions generally look good right now overall when taking things in the aggregate for South America. January beans are just back to steady at 956. March is a half lower at 966 and a quarter. Corn's up fractionally, also watching weather in South America and the impact of rain on planting and development. It looks like corn may be in for another quiet, low-volume session ahead of Christmas. March is up three quarters at 348 and a quarter. May is now one higher at 356 and three quarters. And wheat's up. The global fundamental picture is bearish, especially on the supply side of things, but there is at least a little bit of buying interest. Most forecasts have scattered rainfall in the Delta and parts of the Southern Plains. March Chicago's up two and three quarters at 422 and a quarter. March Kansas City's one and a half higher at 421 and a half. March Minneapolis wheat's just back to steady at 618 and a quarter. Live and feeder cattle are lower ahead of widespread direct cash cattle business and Friday's cattle on feeder port. December live's down 27 at 119.72 and February's 45 lower at 120. January feeders are down $1.30 at 143.90. March is 140 lower at 141.90. And hogs are up. Pork was firm yesterday, and the trade's getting ready for the hogs and pigs numbers also out on Friday. February lean's up 30 at 67.20, and the April contract's up 30 at 71.95. Gold and crude oil are both up so far today. We're online at brownfieldagnews.com. John Perkins, Brownfield.
Who might you save?
Your mother, your father, your husband, uncle, aunt, son.
Learn FAST, F-A-S-T, the sudden signs of a stroke, and you could save
your friend, your best friend, teacher, boss, coach.
F, face drooping, A, arm weakness, S, speech difficulty, T, time to call 911. F-A-S-T, face, arm, speech, time. That's F, face drooping, A, arm weakness, S, speech difficulty, T, time to call 911. The sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment, and that can make a remarkable difference in the recovery of
your neighbor, the waiter, a fellow shopper, a total stranger, grandmother, grandfather.
So learn FAST, the sudden signs of a stroke, then pass it on, because you never know who might save you.
Your wife, your colleague, teammate, mother.
Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Brownfield Market Update for you here on your Wednesday morning on KESM. Your Wednesday, December the 20th, a day we have waited for quite some time, and we won't wait much longer. Back out to Shady's Hometown Tavern and Event Center across town here in Albany. Catching up with Joe Gill once again, our Aunt Sarah's Party Line edition of Focus on Farming.
All right, Kirby, thank you very much. Here at Shady's Hometown Tavern on Main Street in Albany. Also, the CASM staff, Randy Rotsteiner, station manager. He's the guy clapping. He's that guy over there. Travis Raumacher as well, student of Albany High School and now in college and stress-free after finals here during the holidays. He's also a part-timer. Miranda Breath also is a senior at Albany High School. She's interning with our farm department this fall, so doing a great job, and we appreciate her being on hand. And also an officer as well with the FFA chapter as well here at Albany. So we're going to start off this second half of this first hour. And Joel Symantec, we'll start with you when it comes to soybeans here. What are some of the issues, concerns, things right now kind of manning your table, your plate right now when it comes to the soybean world?
Well, right now we're all about biodiesel. We're getting ready for next May 1st, 2018. We're going to move to a B20 mandate in the state of Minnesota for the summer months. We're very excited that the commissioner and the other commissioners involved signed off on that. We're moving forward. We saw some legislation last year that was introduced that would effectively kill that mandate. It had a hearing in the House, an informational hearing, didn't get anywhere in the Senate, so we're going to try to make sure that that happens. Biodiesel is very important to the soybean growers in the state. It's bringing at least 63 cents a bushel back to the farm through the creation of that. It's increasing the value of soybeans. It's great for the air quality in the state of Minnesota. We like to point out, we don't have the actual evidence, but right around the time we needed to stop testing our cars because the state came into attainment is exactly when we started using biodiesel in our big trucks. So that's forefront on us. We'll still be looking for some other issues. We got a tax bill last year that helped with some of the farm taxes for schools, but there's a lot of federal conformity, especially now with the new federal tax bill. that we'll be looking to fix up at the state level. And we're concerned about some of the rules we're seeing come from the different agencies. Bowser had passed in the late night a few years ago a soil loss ordinance, basically changing the way that statute worked, taking it out of the hands of the local control and putting it into the hands of the state agency. I never got a hearing, was just put in late and during a conference committee. So we're very concerned about that process and want to see that go back to the way it was.
Joe, you mentioned a little bit about biodiesel and a little pushback out there. Where does that derive from? Where does that come from?
The oil companies. They're losing share right now from electric cars. They're losing share. People are trying to use less oil, higher fuel efficiency, and they don't want to lose that market. So we're seeing a lot of pushback from the pipeline companies, the refineries in the state. And so they've got a certain segment of the urban areas where they have legislators that are interested in helping them out with those issues. So we'll continue to push on the people that have been champions of it, Senator Westrom, Representative Anderson, Senator Fischbach, to help us out with that issue.
Do either one of you three want to follow up? Tori, if you want to follow up maybe on those comments there, Tom to your right has your microphone. And Tori, follow up on Joe's comments.
Well, Joe, good issue to be talking about. And as a state and as an agriculture focus, the commissioner who's sitting here to my left has been a big leader as well in value-added opportunities, and biodiesel is just one of those value-added opportunities. When I've ran for office, some of my literature's often talked about the only two oil wells we have in the state of Minnesota, one being ethanol, the second being biodiesel. And so we're glad to see progress being made. It isn't about just all of one or all of another, but a good blend like this, when we have the capabilities, the processing here in Minnesota, which, as I recall, was one of the reasons we set the statute in place to ramp up as we had production capacity. And so with that extra production capacity, that means we crush more soybeans here, we make more soybean oils, we have more jobs, and we keep that value added right here in our state. And so that's what we're excited to see and hear about, those kinds of progresses being made by the ag groups and the soybean growers in this part. This particular instance.
Tori, we'll have you go to your right. Paul Anderson as well, state representative. Paul, you have some comments regarding that.
I will say that there has been some concern. I talked last week with the petroleum marketers, the guys that have the service stations in Minnesota, and then I met with the Commissioner Link Stein of the PCA, Pollution Control Agency. And there's an issue with the EPA on compatibility with B20. And what the EPA is saying, and of course MPCA delegates and carries out their authority, but anything that's not guaranteed or certified by the manufacturers of pumps and tanks was not certified for B20. And MPCA is working on language with EPA, and we're going to visit again, I think, next week and come up with some certainty for service stations who want to handle B20 or have to handle B20 that their tanks and pumps will be okay to handle that new product.
Michelle, do you hear much about this in your neck of the woods as well?
You know, I think that both Senator Westrom and Representative Anderson covered a lot of it, but I do think, you know, the fight will continue, and as we as the population shifts more towards the metro, we see that real focus on those kinds of things, and so we do have to continue to fight on those. They don't understand that value added is very important to our area and to rural Minnesota. And so we have to continue working on those things and making sure, and I'm sure that Senator Westrom was involved in the fact that it didn't have a hearing in the Senate. it's good to have our rural folks in those positions where we are able to take a look at those things and potentially stop some of that bad stuff that's coming down the line.
Joe, any follow-up at all, or?
No, we're definitely aware of those issues that the petroleum manufacturers have, and you know, we worked with some trucking companies, and we think there's very good answers for that. We think that certification is there. Most of the updated tanks are good to go. Most of the engines, every engine manufacturer based in America, every American car, diesel car is certified up to B20, so we think we're good to go. We think the commissioners got it right when we said we have the capacity and we have the ability to get this done in the state of Minnesota, and it'll be a real win-win for the environment and for farmers.
Let's go from beans, talk corn. Tom Haig, issues in the corn industry that we're facing, not only statewide, but nationwide as well, Tom.
Well, one of our biggest issues that we got is that we've got so much carryover from our last three major big crops coming from corn. You know, here in our own state of Minnesota, 35, 40 years ago, whoever thought we'd be growing corn on the next to Canada? But we are. We've got 85-day corn up there, so we've got a large amount of corn to get rid of. And we've only got two options in order to get rid of it. We've feed it through our lives, or three options. We've got livestock, we've got exports, and we've got ethanol. Thank goodness back 20-plus years ago, Minnesota became the leader in ethanol situations with going on a 10% mandate on use of ethanol in our gas, which is huge, because that was one of the major breakthroughs to get rid of some of the grind, for the grind for the corn. And our next big push is to, like, during the winter months from September to, I think it's May 1st, we're allowed to use E15 in normal engines that, you know, from 2001 and newer. During the summer months, they claim there's the reed vapor pressure. That's the pressure coming out of the exhaust on your cars. And according to EPA, we are not allowed to burn only in a flex fuel vehicle during that time. But the scientists that study this, or the people that know more about it than I do, is that there's less reed vapor pressure coming in 15% than there is in 10. But that's one of the major things that we are looking at with exporting. Trade is also big for us. We all know that NAFTA is being talked about. They're having the fourth round of meetings are coming up here end of January, the 20th to the 25th, I'm thinking. And for agriculture going south to Mexico is huge. At one time, you know, we were 92%. Now with the trade issues going on with NAFTA, with our present leadership in D.C., we're dropped to 88, and last week we had meetings in National Corn Growers did in St. Louis, and we're dropping further from there. So we need to keep our trade. We got to keep our locals. I'm talking like Mexico and even Canada. We got to make sure that that's where we can continue to do it. And our other trade with our other countries, it's big with South Korea. They're on the verge of looking for new exporters. We've got the quality, we've got the quantity. We want to make sure that they look at us and they don't look at South America. But it all comes down to these trade treaties, and if it doesn't fit them, they're not afraid to go look somewhere else. So that's a lot of national. Statewide, you know, we have some issues coming up, but we've fought through them. We've discussed it with our politicians, with our buffers. We think we've got that looking where it's more feasible and more friendlier than it has in the past. We've got some issues, not some issues, but some good things that happened with best management practices. So maybe you don't need that buffer right up to the edge of the grass water or that grass waterway there. But we've got things going positive that way. So that's very good.
Tom, it took 33 minutes and 15 seconds to hear the word buffer. I was wondering, Dave, can we put that term to rest? Are we where we need to be when it comes to water quality and the whole buffer situation?
Well, thank goodness that the Department of Agriculture has no regulatory authority regarding buffers. That's somebody else's problem, DNR and Bowser. I think so. You know, the good work that farmers have done across the state, I think, was evident because of the waterways issue, and that 96% of those were covered already. And so I think they're going to find in November of next year that probably 100% of the 16.5-foot requirements are in place. So I'm hoping that we can put it to rest and put a nice tombstone over it and say, yeah, here is a buffer. Fly in it.
I'll give you a few moments, too, to promote your water quality program, which if you're around the area, you see the signs in a lot of driveways, at the end of the driveways, too. That's been a very, very big success. I know Matt Woolman has played a big role in that as well.
Yeah, we have. I'm really proud of the program. It is today. Let's just step back a little bit for the listeners. Farmers have said we lack certainty on environmental programs. We want certainty. And so we sat down with EPA. We sat down with USDA and Minnesota, and came up with a program that would guarantee certainty from rules and regulations at the state level, and had a commitment from EPA that said we don't do water quality issues. That's the state's responsibility, so I appreciated that. We move forward with this program. If you abide by and score at the 80% or 8 or better out of a scale of 1 to 10, we can sign you up for the program. And you might, you know, utilize different best management practices to get to that point. But once we get you there, you're good to go for the next 10 years. At this, as we speak, we have 300,000 acres signed up in the program with over 500 farmers agreeing to participate. So I'm really proud of that. They get a sign at the end of the driveway that said I'm part of the Ag Water Quality Certification Program. So when somebody comes out and harps at them, they can say, sorry, gave at the office. You know, go talk to somebody else. And so I think that's a good program.
Tom Peterson, Minnesota Farmers Union. Tom, I can see you doing a mental checklist. You've run across one or two of these issues.
Yeah, Joe, definitely for Farmers Union, we have a lot of different issues working on and trying to think of some different ones that haven't been mentioned already. One of the things we're looking at is as the legislature goes into session is, do they have a surplus or a deficit? The last forecast talked about nearly a $300 million deficit, but that could change in February. And so looking at a lot of the good work we did last session, one of the things we passed too was a beginning farmer credit, kind of a first in the nation for renting or selling your farm to a beginning farmer, and really encourage people to check that out because that goes into effect January 1st. And also, really, as Steve said, the farm economy struggling for the last 3 years, making sure that we have resources to help farmers through the Department of Agriculture. They have a Rural Finance Authority program that has restructure loans that are very important to farmers, but understand that they may need more money this session, and so being prepared for that. And then also talking about another big issue for Farmers Union is ditch mowing. You've probably heard a lot about this. Joe and I have talked about this many times. We have a stakeholder group that's still working through a process on that, and we'll have a report coming to the legislature, but the legislature is going to have to deal with that too, as whether farmers can mow before August 1st and if there's a penalty or not. Buffers too. Another interesting thing about the buffers is we passed some legislation this last year that gave farmers till July 1st. Nearly 3,000 farmers applied for a waiver to not put the buffer in last fall with the challenging harvest. And so we're going to make sure that farmers have enough time to do the right thing and put those buffers in and address that. And again, the biodiesel. And another interesting issue that I got a call about on the way over here is wolves continue to be a big issue. As you look at the wolf range coming almost down to the northern area of your listening area here, Joe, and our healthy wolf population that we have in Minnesota, and looking at that. And then real quickly, just on national issues, the farm bill. We'll have a new farm bill by the end of this year from now. Trade, also big issue, and then the tax bill that's being debated and probably passed here in a few minutes. So a quick rundown of some of the issues.
Coming up at 9:53, 7 minutes away from 10 o'clock here on Chasm Radio, as we go to Dan Glessing. Dan wearing two hats today, and Dan, a dairy farmer, as you mentioned, also vice president with Minnesota Farm Bureau. Recently in November, we had your guys' annual meeting, the 99th annual convention. What was just kind of an overview, issues, main concerns? What was all kind of talked about in your neck of the woods?
Well, our annual meeting, after that annual meeting, our board of directors sit down and go through our priority issues and kind of figure out what's going to be hot on the hot topic. Some of those are rural communities. You know, Tom talked about it, and then the need for good workers out there. Also, the mental health. I want to thank Commissioner Fredrickson and his department for that rural health hotline. Sometimes it's just nice to have that voice on the other end as you're talking through, thinking through. It just, you know, it helps you kind of get a better perspective, and certainly want to thank you for that. Another issue facing our farmers is healthcare affordability, availability, and so we want to make sure that we have access to great healthcare out in the rural communities. Trade, you've heard it from every group up here, trade is huge, and we want to make sure that have those channels open so that our products are able to get there. Another one is infrastructure. We need to get those products to the markets, and healthy infrastructure is some of that. taxes, that tax, 40% tax credit on farm ground. Want to thank all those involved in that. That certainly does help, especially in this kind of a economy. So
now, Dan, when you put your dairy hat on too, today everybody knows margins are tight, and it's been that way. And I hate to say it, when I look at the numbers and read the markets, I kind of blush and say, Joe, get through them real quick because don't make people mad. But that's how it is right now, and it seems like for the foreseeable future, we're going to stay on that path.
Yeah, I was visiting with our CEO at a wedding here last weekend of the milk co-op that I send to, and the look on her face was enough to tell me that it's not going to get better anytime soon. And it certainly isn't bleeding too hard, for lack of a better term, but it's been so long that you haven't been able to get ahead on any of the bills, and that's just dragging you down.
Mm-hmm. Dan Glessing joining us this morning. Steve Schlingen as well. I know Dan mentioned the insurance aspect, or healthcare, I should say, that farmers have had concerns about. And you've kind of had your foot also in that fire as well, and in a good way, in trying to lead into some solutions for folks as well, correct?
Yeah, Joe, I know there are a lot of other options that are becoming available this year. A lot of people are trying to figure out different ways to help their members. But this 40 Square Cooperative Solutions that we just got up and running this year is something that we started working on in 2004, I think. And just like to thank the senators and representative here for passing some laws this past year to allow it to move forward. And today is the final deadline for signing up for health insurance in Minnesota. And it is moving forward. We have our board meeting tomorrow, and we're going to put the final touches on the contracts with our third-party administrator and our underwriter, our reinsurance people, and stuff like that. So this really took off quick. I was asked to be on the board, I think, in August, and it was five farmer members on that board and then a couple others. And we just had to set up the framework so that this whole thing could move forward. So we're very happy that it is moving forward. It's a really good option for a lot of farmers, and I think it's going to get better over time because farmers are going to be careful on how they spend money on health care, and they won't be going to the emergency room for little things. And I think if the group can control costs, the insurance premiums are going to reflect that in time. So we're pretty excited about where it's going.
And Steve, it's not necessarily reinventing the wheel. It has shown success in another kind of cooperative setting, right?
Yeah, actually, this is a program that the United Farmers Co-op down in, out of Winthrop or Lafayette, Minnesota, has had in place for about 10 years for their employees. And it's they've seen the results of how people working together can keep costs down. And that's what we're hoping we're going to see with this program.
Steve Schlingen joining us this morning on our Focus on Farming panel here on Chasm Radio. As we inch closer to 10 o'clock, a break for news and weather. And we'll be back at about 10:06 or so here on Chasm Radio. Big thank you to Stearns Bank Albany providing the monster cookies. Is it monster cookies out there? Derek promised monster cookies. All right, monster cookies. We like those. All right, coffee and also the drinks courtesy of the fine folks at Midsoda Manufacturing. That's the 6'7 guy standing there, Joel Bauer. Thank you, Joel, for your support as well of our broadcast this morning. And also Compeer Financial in Way Park. They also sponsor our broadcast day as well this morning. From Shady's Hometown Tavern, Main Street, Albany, for folks looking to come out, you can come out for the second hour. Also stick around after 11 o'clock. They got their chicken deal, the roasted chicken, also being served as well today. We're going to send it back to the studio to Kirby Hemish. He'll get us caught up on some news, some weather, see what's going on as far as temps and possible snowfall. We'll send it back to Kirby. We're back here at 10:06 at Shady's here on Chasm Radio.
Focus on Farming takes a brief little timeout. Sounds like a monster cookie timeout. I know Steve Schlingen's getting in there, that's for certain. 16 degrees, it is 10 o'clock. Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
For over 60 years, you have come to depend on AM 1150 KASM Albany. Now on FM 105.5 HD2 KDDG Albany. And 24 hours a day on KASM Albany at FM 107.7. Now from the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council studio, powered by the Soybean Checkoff.
Chasm's top of the hour update. Everything you need to know. It's our home, too. Stand by.
NBC News Radio. I'm Lisa Carter. President Trump will celebrate with Republicans today after the final passage of their big tax reform bill.
The plan passed the Senate overnight, but is now heading back to the House for another vote after Senate revisions. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
After eight straight years of slow growth and underperformance, America is ready to take off.
The White House says the president will host a bill passage event around 3 o'clock Eastern Time. Passage of the massive tax package would be the president's first major legislative achievement. House Speaker Paul Ryan is working on sexual harassment reform in Congress. On NBC's Today Show, Ryan said he's working with Democrats and Republicans to come up with a solution to sexual misconduct on the Hill. He was asked about the sexual misconduct allegations leveled at President Trump, in which he said it's not the job of Congress to investigate the allegations against the president. Federal investigators are reviewing the data recorders from Monday's deadly Amtrak derailment in Washington state. The NTSB says they hope the recorders will help them determine why the train was going 80 miles an hour in a 30-mile-an-hour curve when it flew off the rails. Strong winds once again expected to fuel the huge Thomas Fire in Southern California. The powerful winds have fanned the massive wildfire that has scorched over 270,000 acres northwest of Los Angeles. The winds died down over the past few days, giving fire crews a chance to bring the blaze to now 60% containment. Forecasters expect the winds to return this afternoon. The truth is out there. President Trump's stance on UFOs isn't clear. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders was asked if Trump believes in UFOs and if he plans to fund a Pentagon program that researches the possibility of their existence.
Somehow that question hasn't come up in our back and forth over the last couple days, but I will check into that and be happy to circle back.
We'll see what she says. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
It's a Minnesota tradition, broadcasting from the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council studio, powered by the Soybean Checkoff. We are AM 1150 KASM Albany, KDDG Albany 105.5 HD2, and KASM Albany 107.7 FM, all day and night.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never...
What? Wait a minute. It doesn't matter if you've been with us for decades or are a new acquaintance this year. You're all important to us at Trout Companies. We know you depend on us for well drilling, geothermal, water treatment, farm irrigation, in-ground sprinklers, service work, and so much more. Be forgotten? Never. Instead, we say thank you. We appreciate you, and we look forward to working with you in the years to come. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from all of us at Trout Companies.
Thrifty White Community Health Corner, your source for reliable health information for you or someone you care about. Flu season is here, and it's not too late to get your flu shot. The best protection against the flu is an annual flu shot. Stop the spread of the flu and protect yourself, your coworkers, and the ones you love. Flu shots are available at your local Thrifty White Pharmacy. No appointments necessary, and walk-ins are always welcome.
Hey, honey, big idea. A new holiday tradition, Mall of America. They've got $50 in rewards when we spent $250, plus attraction bundles, perfect for everyone on our list. Start with a day at Nickelodeon Universe, and the more we add, the more we save. And Radisson Blu, conveniently connected to Mall of America. I hit the pool with the kids, you relax at the spa, then it's back to the room to wrap gifts. Best holiday tradition ever at Mall of America. Thank me later, or at least call me.
Energy Star. It's a term we're all familiar with. When you're building a new home, it means reduced energy consumption, drastically lowering utility bills, and a green, efficient building process that creates less waste. The design team at Alexandria Homes can show you how to design and build a new Energy Star-ready, dynamic home and save up to 50% or more on your utility bills. At Alexandria Homes, we're not just building homes, we're lowering your carbon footprint. It's a short drive. We're just south of the interstate on Highway 29 in Alexandria, or check us out online at alexandriahomesinc.com.
Hennen Lumber Freeport hopes there is a moment in your busy holiday for this friendly holiday greeting. May this season find you happy and with your loved ones observing this day in the true Christmas spirit. Merry Christmas to all from Hennen Lumber Freeport.
Minnesota News Network, I'm Bick Smith, Minnesotans.